Hey everybody, I just want to welcome you back to New Life Church Online. I'm so glad that you're connecting with us. No matter where you're watching from, we're so glad to have you joining in with us today. Thanks for joining in with us in worship. I want to encourage you to continue to worship with us in your giving. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. There's many ways to give at New Life. You can, of course, you can always give online. You can set up your reoccurring gifts there. You can give by sending it in the mail or even text to tithe, if that's how you give, no matter what your mode is. I just want to say a huge thank you for your generosity to helping move the ministry of God forward in our Kokomo. And I tell you what, if you're new with us, if maybe you're watching for the first time, or you've not been to an in-person service, I would love to know that you're watching with us today. Simply text the word connect to 765-347-9127. And our team will send you a digital form that you can fill out and let us know you're watching today. And we want to give some great next steps for your faith walk with Jesus. Well, this week we are launching life groups. And I want to tell you how you can get in a life group. You can simply text the word connect to our number, 765-347-9127. And when you text the word groups to that number, you will receive a link that will show all of the groups that we have going on this fall semester. You can select the group that you want to be a part of, and you can jump into that group this week. We've got some great groups going on this semester, so get in a life group. We believe life is relationships, so grow in your relationship with God, grow in your relationship with others, get yourself in a group, all right? Well, we are in a series right now called Help, I'm. And in this series, we're going to be tackling some different topics that we know people need help in. Come on, shout at me if you know somebody who needs some help. People need some help today. And last week, our first week of the series, we said, help, I'm stuck. People get stuck in life, and we want you to get unstuck. We want to help you unstick your life. And last week, we talked about four things that will stick your life. We said excuses will stick your life. And that living according to other people's expectations will always stick your life. And third, we said believe. When you believe in a false narrative, it sticks your life. And unforgiveness and bitterness will stick your life. Last week, we looked at the life of Ruth. Now, I would love for you to get caught up on the series. If you haven't caught up on last week's content, you can go to newlifeforkokomo.org, and you can see the archive of messages there. And you can get caught up on our first message, help, I'm stuck, and hopefully you can unstick your life. But today, today we are going to talk about help, I'm offended. Help, I'm offended. Offense is a common thing that's happening, not just today, but for eons of time. People get offended. And I want to help you today to see first how offense happens, but also how you can combat offense in your life. Because ultimately, offense, it is a prison, and it will entrap you, and it will pull you down, and it will hurt your relationships, it'll hurt your heart, and people need help getting out of the trap of offense. A funny story, you know, my wife and I, we have twin boys. They're now 12 years old, but years ago when they were just little dudes, when we would travel, it was quite the sight. I mean, just to go somewhere for a weekend to visit family, we would pack, you know, two pack and plays, outfits, times two, times however many outfits they go through a day, you know, just loads and loads of diapers and bibs, and because we had twins, you know, feeding them meals was tricky without a high chair. So we actually would pack two portable high chairs, two pack and plays, two like boppy seats, and a double wide stroller. I mean, we would pack all of this stuff, and so we would show up to a friend's house, we would show up to a family member's house, and we would have all this stuff. And my wife, she always wants to pack for the unexpected. And so I always be like, I'm like, man, we do not need all this stuff. Like, we can go a couple days without all this stuff. And so we always come loading in, like we packed for a week's vacation, and we have these two little dudes, and we had all of this stuff. And you know, this is kind of what happens along in life. In life, along the way, we pick up all of this baggage. And we're going to destinations in life carrying all of this stuff, all of this stuff. We're carrying many times way too much baggage for where we're going. We're carrying so many things through the destinations of life that we really don't even need. We really don't even need all that we're carrying. Things that we picked up along the way that for some reason we just can't let go. We just can't let go. This is what it is like to be weighed down by the baggage of offense. People are going through their lives gathering up offenses along the way, and they're arriving at destinations weighed down by the weight of offense. People have packed far too much baggage throughout their journey of life for far too long, and you're tired. You're weighed down. You're exhausted. And you may even think that you're hiding the fact that you've got baggage, but everybody else sees you when you walk in the front door how much you're carrying. And I hope that today you've showed up with baggage and you're going to leave it. All of the unnecessary offenses, all of the unnecessary baggage you've been carrying for far too long, my prayer is that you would leave it today and leave lighter because you've learned to forgive and leave the baggage behind. So let's look at offense. How does it happen? Well, the first thing how offense happens is you get offended. You will get offended. And here's a guarantee. You get offended. There are so many opportunities in our world today for offense. I mean, it's probably more than ever. But offense is not going anywhere. You will incur somebody or something that will absolutely offend you. Somebody is going to talk to you in a way that is offensive. Somebody is going to offend you with the tone of their voice. Somebody is not going to greet you or say hello to you, and you're going to be offended. You're going to see somebody that you know, maybe from your life group, maybe from the where you sit in church, and you're going to see them in the grocery store, and you're going to swear they looked right at you and ignored you, and you'll be offended. There's plenty of opportunity to be offended today. But the second part of you getting offended and how offense happens is that you then take offense. Did you know that you could get offended without taking offense? Proverbs 19:11 says, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." I guarantee you will get offended, but you don't have to take offense. The third thing is that you will harbor resentment. So when you get offended, and then you take offense, and you allow that offense to just get, which taking an offense is you're allowing it to get stirred up in your heart, then you harbor resentment. You harbor resentment. To harbor resentment is to allow the vessel of bitterness to then be docked inside of your heart. And when you become resentful, you are giving the person that hurt you control over your life because it's all you can think about. And every time you see them, you're almost offended all over again. Because you were offended, you took offense, and now it has harbored resentment in your heart. It has docked itself to the inner parts of you, and every time you see them, you relive it. And every time you're away from them, you are rethinking it. You are redesigning the events that took place. You are imagining and creating false narratives about what they're probably doing right now, what they're probably saying about you right now, that when they didn't notice you, what they probably were doing, they probably did it on purpose, they probably think I'm no good, they probably are telling my other friends what they think, and you're reliving this. You're creating these narratives. It's all you can think about. And resentment is bitterness that builds a prison in which you reside. When you allow resentment to be harbored inside of you, it is a prison, and you're giving the person that offended you control over your life. And I hope that today that you will evict offense out of your heart, that you would send out to sea again the vessel of bitterness, so that you can live free, you can live without living in the prison of offense. Because it's controlling your life. And also what happens is, it's not just that you get offended, it's not just that you take offense or that you harbor resentment in your heart, but what happens next is you develop relationship deficits. Because of the original offense that you took offense to, that you allowed to be docked inside of you, and you've allowed that offense to stir up within you over and over and over and over, that the offense, the bitterness, is developing relationship deficits. Now, the person you have offense with, there is now a divide between the two of you. That divide is the offense that you have. And while you're at home and you're stirring about it, and while you're thinking about it, while you're dreaming up all of the scenarios that you really believe are happening, the person you're offended with, let me tell you a secret. They're not thinking about it at all. Like, they've not thought about it in weeks or in years, but it consumes your everyday life. And now the relationship that you have with the offender has a major deficit. It's a divide between you, that you're disconnected. But moreover, you develop relationship deficits in your other relationships. Because bitterness always bleeds through and affects the other relationships that you have around you. So because you might have an offense with an old family member, it's bleeding through, the bitterness is bleeding through, and it is affecting your relationship with your spouse. Because you have bitterness towards your spouse, maybe, is bleeding through and is causing a deficit in your relationship with your children. Because you have a bitterness and resentment in your heart towards a coworker at your workplace, it is bleeding through and is causing you to have relationship deficits with people, maybe in your life group, maybe at home, maybe in your neighborhood, wherever it may be. But your relationship deficit that was caused by the original offense is bleeding through, and everybody can see that you have packed way too much on this journey. That everybody can see that you are weighed down by offense. It's not just the offense with one offender. It has imprisoned you, docked itself in resentment in your heart, and it is bleeding through in the other relationships in your life. And the only answer to getting rid of this resentment, to getting rid of this offense, and to healing relationship deficits, the only answer is forgiveness. You have to learn to forgive. Now, if you're waiting for the other person to apologize, can I tell you something? You're going to be waiting a lifetime. Forever, and you're going to choose to live in the prison of bitterness and resentment, living offended because you're waiting for the other person to make the first move. But forgiveness has got to be your first move. And also, if you're waiting to feel like you're ready to forgive, you also will likely never forgive, because choosing to forgive most of the time is not a feeling that you have, but it's a choice that you must make in order to send out to see resentment from your heart, in order to see healing in relationship deficits. You've got to be brave enough, bold enough, confident enough that you can choose to forgive even when you don't feel like it. And even if the other person isn't sorry, you've got to forgive for your sake, because your bitterness is bleeding through and everybody sees you are packing way too much for the trip. You're way down and you need to be lightened by being healed of this offense. So how do we combat offense, this trap of offense? Well, we're going to look at some scripture, but the first thing in combating offense is you have to pray for them. You pray for them. And this is a hard step to take. But watch what scripture says in Luke chapter 6. It says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and watch this, pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Watch what it says in Romans chapter 12. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. How many times when someone has offended you, you're cursing them behind their back? But scripture's clearly saying, don't do that. Bless them. Pray for them. And if that's not enough, watch what Matthew says. Matthew chapter 5, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. Here's what I'll say about this, is that praying for the offender is the antibiotic that stops the infection of offense. So if you want to begin to learn how to combat offense, then pray for your offender. Bless them. Don't curse them. Don't talk about them. Don't relive the offense. Pray for them. Because it is the antibiotic that stops the infection. It prevents your heart from hardening when you can truly bless them. You can pray for them. So if you want to stop the infection of offense, learn to pray for those who offend you. Pray for them. The second thing is, it's not just to pray for them, but you must go to them. You go to them. Watch what it says in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, because it's the model. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just, watch this, don't miss this. Just between the two of you. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. If they listen, you have won them over. But just between the two of you. How many times have we seen people make the mistake of going on to their social media platforms to air out their grievances with other people? To air out their frustrations? Can I just say, please don't. Please don't do that. It is so divisive, and it further separates you from finding the resolution and reconciliation that you need. Just please don't. For the rest of us that have to see the awkwardness take place, just please don't. But secondly, how many of us, instead of going to them, just between the two of us, how many times do we run to other people to talk about it? When somebody offends you, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a friend, a neighbor, how many times do we just run to find somebody that we can talk about it with, that we can talk about our offense with? How many times have we gone to somebody and say, hey, can I talk to you? I just need to vent. I just need to vent, right? I just want to talk bad about the person that's offended me. I mean, I just want to vent. Pastor Devin, sometimes I just need people to vent to. I just need someone to vent to. But nowhere in Scripture, nowhere does it ever say, find someone to vent to, and that will take care of it. Find someone to vent to, and you know what? That's how we solve our problems. Find someone to vent to. Scripture never says find someone to vent to. It says to go to that person directly. just between the two of you, and work it out together. If you really, really want to be serious about combating offense, you've got to learn how to do this. And this is the hardest part. It is so easy to talk about people when they're not there. It's so easy to allow offense to stir up in you. And here's what I say, is that venting to other people is just you searching for validation of your offense. When you run around and you want to talk about your offender, you're just looking to feel validated in your hurt. You're looking to be validated in being mad towards that person. You're looking for validation that you are the victim and they are the bad guy. But venting for validation never, ever solves anything. Venting for validation never helps the other person. Venting for validation actually just continues to put bricks on the wall that build a prison around your heart. Venting for validation, it gives you a validated offense in you, and now you have validated your hatred towards the other person. You have validated that you can have ill intentions or ill feelings towards the other person because you ran around and you got validated by other people. So venting is just validation for your offense. But that is not the steps that God is asking you to take with your offender. He's saying go to them, just between the two of you. The reason why you have got to exchange venting to other people with going to the offender, it's because God doesn't want anything in between our relationships. And when we vent and get validated, that offense stays in between us because I have built up a prideful stance that I'm right and you're wrong, and I'll never forgive. But you must go to them. And that sounds really hard, that sounds scary, but it sounds something like this. This is a way that you can go to your offender and simply say, hey, I don't want anything in between us. I really don't. And you may not even know that this happened. And then you fill in the blank. This is what happened. And you may not even know that happened. But also, this is how it made me feel. I felt left out when that happened. I felt like you didn't think about our friendship. And you may not even know I felt that way, but I just wanted to tell you that because I don't want anything to come in between us. That's how you go to the offender. That's how you go to the other person. That's how you go to them. And now, if somebody ever comes to you just like I had just said, if someone ever comes to you like that, here's the steps you need to take. Because at first, you may not understand what you did. And you may want to become defensive. But the step you must take is you must have empathy for how they feel. Show empathy. And then work towards reconciliation. And that sounds like this. You're right. I did not know that's what was going on. But I can see how that made you feel. And I am so sorry that what I did or what I said made you feel that way. Because I would never want anything to come in between us either. So I'm sorry. And you know what? Next time, you're right. Next time I should call you too. Or next time, you're right, I will invite you as well. Or next time, I won't do it like that. I'm very sorry. I hope that you will forgive me. And the other person, of course I forgive you. And then you both agree. You don't want anything in between you. And you have resolution. Instead, you could go vent to somebody and validate your position. And then offense will be rooted deeper and deeper in your heart. And the third way that you can combat offense is that you could forgive like Jesus. forgive like Jesus forgives. Colossians 3:13, it says, bear with each other, forgive one another, and if any of you has any grievance against someone, watch this, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So how should I forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How often should I forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How much should I forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How quickly should I be to forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because here's what I know, an offended person who cannot forgive is a person that has forgotten what they have been forgiven of. Here's what I've learned about forgiving my offenders, is that there have been times in my life that to the world's standards, for me to hold a grudge, I would have been completely valid in my offense. Because people sometimes will really, really offend you. People will really come against you. But what I have learned is, if God could forgive me as freely and as frequently as he has, then who am I to ever hold a grievance against somebody else? Who am I? I'm reminded of the man in the Bible that owed a really, really big debt. It was equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's currency. And his master went to settle accounts. And when he found that this man, he told him, it's time to pay up. You owe me big time. And the man said, I can't pay this debt. And he begged and begged for his life. Ultimately, the master said, you know what? I'll forgive the whole debt. And the man went free. And then, immediately after, he goes and finds somebody that owes him a few bucks. And he ends up grabbing the guy by the neck and saying, listen, dude, I'm gonna have you thrown in prison if you don't give me my $5. There were some witnesses saw that this happened. And even they realized, yo, this guy just got forgiven a mountain load of debt, but he has this guy by the throat demanding him for a few dollars. So they ran and told the master what had happened. The master reversed his decision, throws this man in prison until all of his debts would be paid. In other words, he said, if you're not going to forgive other people of a little bit, then I can't forgive you either. So an offended person who cannot forgive is a person that has forgotten how much they have been forgiven of. And I want you to remember that it cost Jesus his life, his blood, to see to it that you could receive forgiveness in its fullness. He didn't play any games. He went all out for you and for your forgiveness. And all he's asking you to do is, after forgiving you of a mountain load of debt, he's asking you to pass on that forgiveness to other people's small grievances. And when you compare your offense to the forgiveness that God has given you in your life, it's a small grievance. And how can God forgive you of your mountain of forgiveness, of faults, when you can't forgive others a little bit? I want you to remember the height from which you have fallen, the pit that God found you in, and it's your job to now be the forgiver in this to those around you. And maybe you today, you don't even know what it's like to have the mountain of debt forgiven. And you can experience that kind of forgiveness today. You see, Jesus already did everything he has to do to set you free from the bondage of sin, from all of the mistakes, all of the failures you've ever made. He's already done it. All you have to do is you just need to reach out and receive it like you would receive a free gift. And you can receive the free gift of salvation. And all of your mistakes, all of your failures that you feel like you've got to be good enough to outdo, that your good would outdo the bad, you don't have to. You just need forgiven. You need God to set you free from all of that. And you can do that today. And maybe you need to remember today just how much God has forgiven you of so that you can forgive your offenders. Let's do that today. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody watching, everybody tuning in today. God, first, may we remember how much you have done for us, how much you have forgiven us, how much you have set us free from. And now, God, in turn, may we have the strength and the ability to turn towards others and offer them forgiveness so that offense does not harbor resentment and bitterness in our hearts, causing relationship deficits. God, I pray that deficits would be made up and paid up in Jesus' name. That through forgiveness, people are going to begin to reconcile as they work it out together with one another. God, I pray that we would stop the game of searching for validation of our offense with others, and we would go to our offender for the purpose of fixing it, of resolving it, of paying off the deficit and coming back together in connection and relationship through forgiveness towards one another. And I pray for somebody today that needs to experience the forgiveness of Jesus for the first time in their life. God, may you lift the baggage of sin. May you lift the burden of their mistakes and failures off of them as they receive you as their Lord and Savior. May all of their sin be forgiven by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.